I'll be reading Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 10 to 20. This is the word of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. And to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. And Lord, we thank you for these moments. Thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, that your word would have your desired effect upon our hearts today. That we would not think of this as just something to endure, but something to be encouraged by, something to be pointed to you and to your truth and to living in ways that please you, that honor you, that glorify you. And Lord, it's beyond us. It's beyond us to understand your word. It's beyond us to live this life in honor of you and in Christ's strength and for his glory. And so I pray, Lord, that even now you would have your way in our hearts. Change us. Make us the people you want us to be. And glorify yourself. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And please be seated. Charles Spurgeon said, like the Spartans, every Christian is born a warrior. It is his destiny to be assaulted. It is his duty to attack. I remember 9/11/2001. America was attacked and many died, and it was a dark day. And I remember what I was doing on that Tuesday morning. I will never forget the gruesome images of lives lost. That day, its aftermath, upset the faith of some. I remember 9/10/25, 11 days ago, Charlie Kirk was assassinated in Utah. And for me, I wish I could unsee some of what I saw, but it's hard to forget the shocking image of a man's life ended and people watching in real time. And cowardly attack on free speech. And if you put all politics aside, here was a man who fairly and firmly stood up for faith and faithfulness and really reminded people that words and ideas matter. He went on to college campuses and shared his faith and invited people who disagreed with him to engage in open, peaceful, raw, sometimes angry on their part, dialogue. He went where there was not a lot of like-minded folks, but he didn't cower behind a keyboard. He went where people were, and it took faith to do so. Today we're talking about, for the Christian and for the church, the shield of faith and why it's important. We see it in Ephesians 6, verse 16. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. We're not talking about wearing a Kevlar bullet-resistant ballistic vest. We're not talking about level 7 body armor. What we're talking about here is old-school protection from enemy attacks to illustrate how faith in Jesus shields the Christian and shields the church. That taking up the shield of faith quite literally means applying truth quickly in every trial. When you're told as a believer, take up the shield of faith, it means that you will take up quickly the truth and apply it in every trial that you face. At all times, carry the shield of faith. Faith as a shield, because with it, you are able to put out all the burning arrows shot by the evil one, shot by Satan. I'm going through Ephesians 6, and it's interesting to note that all the pieces of the armor are to be worn at all times. You're to have them. They work together. But it's interesting to note that the three that we've seen already, those first three parts of armor get fastened onto your body, and they pretty much stay there. Like they basically get fixed onto you. But then the next three that we're going to now look into, you pick them up and put them on again and again. So you have the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness and the shoes of the gospel of peace on, and you put them on, and for the most part, pretty much they just stay on. But a shield is separate from you. You pick it up. You hold on to it. And we're told to take up a shield and a sword and a helmet and to put them on. And the kind of things that a soldier would take off and put on again and again. And here what we have is spiritual truth pictured with analogies to pieces of armor. And they're good to examine in detail. And think God expects us to examine these in detail. They're meant to be looked at. And so today specifically we'll focus on the shield of faith and specifically two things about it. One, that the shield of faith is real. And secondly, that it is effective. That it is real and that it is effective. And then I'll give some applicational ideas. So the first idea, the shield of faith is real. Okay, in all circumstances, verse 16 says, take up the shield of faith, okay? Armor, peace, likened to faith as a shield. So now you're thinking, what were those shields like that the Roman soldiers were using, okay? The shields used by Roman soldiers were very large. And they could be 4 foot long and 2.5 feet wide. In fact, you could think about it in the size of this pulpit, and what could you do behind it? Go like this. All right, you could literally, the idea was a door that you would hold in front of you that you would hide behind, that you could hide behind to protect yourself. So you have this oblong shaped shield, and it's meant to cover most of your body. It's meant to protect you, and you're to hold on to it. And in those days, this large, heavy shield was made from wood planks. It would be covered with canvas and covered with leather and sometimes with metal trim and sometimes with a metal covering over the front. And the shield of faith is a proverbial shield that is composed of a believer's solid faith in the midst of this spiritual battle that we are in. You think about ancient warfare and what were they doing? They weren't, you know, shooting at each other with guns. They were throwing and hurling rocks and lead weights and spears and even implementing, mechanisms of war like catapults to shoot missiles of fire and stone at one another. One early writer, Polybius, said that the heavy shields were serviceable for defense. They would defend you, and they would be fitted with metal in the middle, and it would even help even more, especially against heavy missiles. Diodorus of Sicily described a tyrant of Syracuse, and he was wading into this fierce hand-to-hand combat, and here's what he said about him. Many missiles were hurled at him, and they just hit his shield and fell to the ground. He escaped due to protection of his armor. This is what armor does. It protects you. And the shield of faith is to protect the Christian. And faith is real. Faith is a gift from God. It is not imagined. It's not a figment of your imagination. Someone will say, well, I don't know what you're talking about when you say that you believe in Jesus. And you're like, well, I know it's real. I can't show you right here, but I can show you the effects of my faith. I can show you what I'm doing because of my faith. I can show you what has happened in my life because faith has been granted to me as a gift from God. So we're not talking about some kind of generic type of thing. We're not talking about faith being some sort of mental knowledge of something only, but it includes what you believe, but it never stops at that. It goes out into how you live. Real faith is going to have some sort of proof. And the idea is faith is the God-given ability to quickly apply what you believe to turn away evil. Where you apply the truth. Like in every part of your life. That you want to, the believer wants to walk in humble obedience to God. And you have to take up the shield of faith to do so. If you're going to walk in humble obedience to God, you're going to have to take up the shield of faith. You're going to have to believe in the triune God and his word and believe that he is your shield. Literally, that God is your shield and that his word, his spirit-given word, also protects you. In Proverbs 30, verse 5, we read, every word of God is tested, literally pure, literally trustworthy, furnace fired like metal, and that he, God, is a shield to those who take refuge in him. And you're to take up the shield of faith. It's in the active voice. It works as an imperative, really. It's every believer needs to choose to believe God and believe his word. To believe God and live by his word. To literally follow in your life the word of God and cling to his faithfulness and cling to what he says because it doesn't change. That the Christian soldier's shield is faith. Faith in God and his trustworthy word. Faith in Christ, who is called faithful and true. Think of Abraham, and Romans 4 tells us that Abraham believed in hope of not being weak in faith. He considered not his own body that was as good as dead, and he was almost 100 years old, and God had promised he and his 90-year-old wife to have a child, a promised child, and he wasn't going off of what he could see. He wasn't going off of that because hope that is seen is not hope. But it says that he grew strong in faith and believed God. He gave glory to God, and he was fully persuaded that God is able to do what he promised to do. That's you taking up the shield of faith. I'm believing God, and I'm believing what he said in his word. I'm fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. So faith is your shield. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, it says this, this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith, even our faith. The shield of faith is faith in Christ. Faith in Christ and belief in the word of God, and it's based on the faith once for all delivered, as Jude put it, the word of God. The writer of Hebrews said, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And then James says, faith without works is dead. If you say you have faith, if you say you have faith in Jesus Christ, then it is going to show out in your life. People are going to know that. People are going to be evident that you have faith in Jesus Christ. Faith is actively giving glory to God. It's not a self-centered activity. It's God-centered. It's God-focused. It's God-confident. The shield of faith is real. It's real because it's a gift from God. Your faith in Jesus Christ, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have faith as a gift from God, and it is real. And it is also effective. The faith is effective. The shield of faith is effective. What does it say in verse 16? It says, you take up that shield of faith with which In all circumstances, you take up that shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. That's effective. It works. Okay? Back in those days, they would make these fiery darts, and they'd make them out of wood, they'd make them out of metal, and they had a sharp point like an arrow, right? And they would soak them in a substance that would catch fire. They would ignite the material into flame and launch darts, arrow darts, in the direction of their enemy, of the victims that they wanted to pierce with these arrows. And you would have this wooden shield. And you might have, if you had a bit of money, you might have a fireproof metal surface on it. So you would hold it up to face the enemy, and whatever thrown at it would fall. Or you might have the wooden shield with leather over the top, and that was your covering of the shield, and you would need to soak it in water to quench the flames. You would before you went to the battlefield, you would soak your shield in water. But as the battle raged hour after hour, the leather would become dry. It would no longer extinguish the fiery missiles, and the shields would eventually burn. They'd be useless. The soldiers would be uncovered, be helpless, even soon dead. Imagine soldiers on a battle line facing blazing arrows raining down on them. Just raining down on their head. You need, as a Christian, you need the shield of faith to protect you against everything thrown and launched at you, even coming from a distance before the enemy attacks in hand-to-hand combat. And what we think about just the ordinary military shield in those days could repel ordinary missiles. They were arrows shot by flesh and blood enemies. But the enemies of the church are not ordinary. The enemy of the church are real and personal. Look with me in Ephesians 6 and pick it up at verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We've got to be reminded of this. But against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So take up the whole armor of God that you will be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand firm. The enemies of the church are not ordinary. And it tells us in verse 16 that their arrows are flaming. They are fiery. Literally, they are dangerous. They can inflict damage. This is war. And the church needs God's supernatural armor so that we can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And not just some of them, but quench all of them. All of them. Ephesians 4, in verse 27, it says, give no opportunity to the devil. Don't give an opportunity to the devil because of your lies or because of stealing or because of anger or because of your words. Don't give an opportunity to the devil. We need to take up this supernatural shield of faith so that we can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the devil. It's like a bombing campaign preceding the infantry coming in onto the scene in World War II. Just bomb, 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 bomb. And even in the days of the Bible, like soldiers just hurling stones and darts in great quantities from all directions to do something, to cause confusion. That's why you just throw out the barrage to cause confusion, and the enemy tries to confuse the Christian. The enemy wants to confuse you. We have a mortal enemy. We have many enemies, and the enemy tries to confuse you about what the Bible says, tries to confuse you about what God says about you. Tries to confuse you about what God says he will do. What he has promised to do. Tries to confuse you about the world. Tries to confuse you about your place in the world. Tries to confuse you about your identity. Basically tries to confuse you about anything and everything. That's why there's so many Christians that are confused. And the darts the enemy throws at us are because he is wicked. You notice it says that you'll be able to put out all the flaming missiles of the evil one. It's because he's evil, because he's wicked. We're not fighting this faceless, generic evil. Some evil out there. No, it's personal. We are confronted with the schemes of the devil and all the powers that align with him. There are beings that are against us. It's not to scare you, it's to make you aware. The wicked one, the devil, is at work, and he is commanding and controlling all evil beings. And every Christian is literally in a fierce spiritual battle. There is spiritual warfare. This is why we must trust the triune God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We're not trusting in ourselves. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit fights for us because the forces against us are personal. We're fighting evil beings, and we have to be prepared. Telling the head of our safety team at the end of first hour, I said, I'm really glad you guys are on at your posts. You don't want anything bad to happen, but you need to be prepared. In the Christian life, you don't want bad things to happen, but Jesus promised that we would suffer persecution, that we would go through tribulation, that we would have trouble in this world. We want a life that is just wonderful all the time, and that's just not the way it goes. Fight against evil beings, and we must be prepared, and we must be prepared for fierce satanic attacks and assaults. Part of the enemy's strategy, I think, is to get Christians thinking that the devil really isn't the cause. To explain the devil away. The people are our problem. Or politics are our problem. Pundits are our problem. Somebody else is our problem. And there are evil beings and fiery darts coming from all directions. And they're momentary attacks. Like you could go through a season where there's just like this fierce activity against you from the enemy, and it doesn't last forever, but it seems like it will. When you're going through a storm and you're like, will this ever stop? Or you're going through a rough patch in life and you're like, I can't see out of the fog. And these momentary attacks, while not permanent, are fiercely active against you, and it's tough. You try to worship God. You want to worship God. You want to worship the Lord. You want to pray, and you're thrown by all sorts of distracting thoughts and ideas. You try to read the Bible. But anything but the Bible seems like a magnet. And the Bible is like you're repelled by it. And you can't concentrate on the word. And maybe you have evil thoughts, wrong thoughts even about God or about yourself or about other people. And if you can't stand those thoughts, they don't come from you. Evil is attacking you. Even to get you to doubt whether you are a Christian or not. find you have evil desires or lust in the source, James tells us, is our passions which wage war in our members. And we're literally giving the devil an opportunity in our life. And there's fiery trials, and it's like a furnace. And Peter put it this way, beloved, don't be surprised. Don't think it's strange concerning the fiery ordeal that comes upon you. All of God's people are going through this. And that everyone who desires to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And Satan tries to harm you, fill you with fear. And there's one way to deal with those attacks. You hold up the shield of faith. You hold up the shield of faith and you apply the truth immediately, quickly, speedily. And you take up the shield and you raise it against the enemy and you hold your shield in every direction. And even as God said to Abraham, do not fear, I am your shield. God is your shield, Christian. As the psalmist put it, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Proverbs tells us, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and is safe. There is your shield of faith. The name of the Lord, the power of the Lord, the word of the Lord. Psalm 84 says, the Lord is a shield. The shield points you to his power. You hide behind it. You hide in him. As Psalm 91 tells us, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. It's not just getting a bit of shade on a hot day. This is us saying to the Lord, as the psalmist said to the Lord, you are my refuge, you are my fortress, you are my God in whom I trust. And quickly, in the moment, as the fiery darts are coming your way and temptation is hitting and all of these things are happening, you hold up the shield of faith, faith in God and faith in his word, and you apply quickly what you believe and answer everything the devil hurls at you. The Spirit of God and the Son of God are praying for the church, interceding for us. The Spirit of God and the Son of God are making intercession for us so that we can quickly act. I wonder if they're praying that we would quickly act with the shield of faith and quickly apply what we believe to answer everything the devil launches at us. The shield of faith is applying truth quickly in every trial. Some of you may say, well, I don't have that faith. I can't do that. I don't have that. You don't believe in Jesus. You haven't trusted your soul to Christ. You haven't surrendered your soul to Christ. And you need to know that there is a holy God who must punish sin, and we are all sinful. From Adam and Eve onward, all of us born in sin, and God who is holy sent God the Father sent God the Son to pay the sin penalty for every lost sinner that was under the wrath of God. All of us, he died in our place. He shed his blood. The Christian could only say, I can hold up the shield of faith if God has granted you faith to believe. And what does that mean? It means that you are trusting your soul to Christ. It means that you are surrendered to Christ. It means that you are trusting Jesus to save you. All the things you tried to do, all the things you were working so hard at, and they all failed on you, They can't get you where you need to be. They can't save you. They can't rescue you. There's no shelter in your own heart and your own ideas. And so if you say, I can't even hold up the shield of faith because I don't have any faith. Now, there's things I believe and stuff, but what you're talking about is totally different. And the Bible tells you very clearly, believe in the Lord Jesus and be saved. Turn from your sins. Turn from them and run to Christ. Turn to Christ. Believe in Jesus. Surrender to Jesus. Have faith in Jesus. Every believer in this room, you're like, I can hold up the shield of faith even if I have no strength because God has given me faith to believe. I can't even believe it in those moments in my life when I thought I had nothing. It turns out that faith works. Jesus works. Jesus is real, and he gave me real faith, and God is real, and his word is real, and everything I'm seeing in life isn't going to get the best of me. Because the shield of faith is applying truth quickly in every trial. Let me give you 10 examples. Just one after another. Number one, you can hold up the shield of faith, believer, in daily life, just daily life in general. In daily life, at home and church and work and community, just you're busy in everything and whatever opportunity God gives you, you can quickly apply what you believe in everything that the devil launches at you. Maybe you're in peace, a season of peace right now, or a moment of peace right now, or maybe you have conflict, maybe you have contentiousness, or maybe you're saying, I can't do this. Hold up the shield of faith in your daily life. God is real. His word is true. I'm going to trust in Christ. If you say, well, I'm too busy for the word of God and prayer. I'm too busy to even think about it. You got to get to the point. You've got to get to the point like a soldier that would soak their shield in water and believe the word of God and trust God. Open, crack your Bible open or think of a Bible verse that you memorize that you have in your head, even if it's just John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Jesus, thank you for loving me. Even if it's that, you're like, well, that's nothing. No, it's something. It's real and it's true. Hold up the shield of faith in your daily life. Open up the word. Pray. Sing to God. Sing to him. Chase the blues away. Sing his praises. Be honest. Bless people. Help people. Hold up the shield of faith in your daily life. Secondly, hold up the shield of faith in your work. In your work. Believe the promises of God and apply it in the marketplace. Apply it in the home, wherever you work. And remember Colossians 3, whatever you do, do it from your heart. As for the Lord, not for man. You're not pleasing people here. You got to please God. So hold up the shield of faith in your work. Third, hold up the shield of faith in the public square. I want to illustrate it with this. And people are talking about what we can learn from Charlie Kirk and the example of being bold and all of that. And here's a man who consistently stood up for truth. He loved the truth. He spoke the truth. He engaged a lot of people with the truth. He enraged a lot of people believing lies. And he wasn't perfect. But people are saying that they are starting to attend church and return to church because of his life and because of his death. It shook them. It shook them to the core. It jostled something loose. Why don't we take a page from, you know, why Charlie Kirk's messaging resonated with so many younger and older Christians? What did it model? Modeled faith on display in the public square. I'm refreshed when I see someone enthusiastically declaring their faith in public. Aren't you? Boldness for Christ and also boldness with your views, whether people agree or not, or whether you're right or not. Bold for Christ and his views. You're bold to proclaim faith in Christ and share his personal views. He knew the word was objective. He knew his opinions were subjective. And hold fast to the faith. Hold fast to the truth. Like, don't cave to the opposition. Welcome the dialogue. Don't be afraid of disagreement. Have conviction and courage, deep convictions and courage to state them clearly in the public square. Be truthful when it's unpopular, and it's not very popular. to be truthful. It's not very popular to bring the word of God into the public square. Truth put him at odds with many people in power in the public square. It'll do it to you too. Like, you should speak up and take action. I'm inspired by people who speak up and take action. Whatever side of the aisle they're on, I'm inspired by people who will actually say something, and I'm mostly inspired by people who have urgency with the gospel in the public square. Like, the time to act is now. Like, the hourglass sand is emptying as Christ's return hastens. Somebody wrote me just this week, and he said, look, speaking personally, Charlie's death has had a big impact on me. And the mix of prayer, reading scripture, sorrow, anger, and self-reflection that I've done over the past few days is something I haven't gone through in quite some time. I appreciate that young man telling me that. Hold up the shield of faith in the public square. Fourthly, hold up the shield of faith in death. There are many stories of people on their deathbed coming to faith in Christ, but there are also many stories of Christians on their deathbed continuing in Christ, believing in Jesus to the end, because it's not the end. Some of you, you know, you have Christian relatives that you hold so dear in your heart, and you saw them in their dying moments, and they died believing. They were holding up the shield of faith. They believed God, and they believed the word of God, and they clung to it. I know so many of you, and I see so many of your eyes, and I know how many people we've sat at the bedside and sung them songs as they died, and as we saw them as they were taking their last breath. Die believing. Die saying, Jesus lives, and he loves me. He saved me. You can hold up the shield of faith in death. Number five, hold up the shield of faith in temptation. When you're tempted, every Christian is tempted. Every Christian is going to be tempted, and you must be ready for it. You must have to have the shield of faith ready to rise up to deflect the flaming darts. And it's not enough for us to say, I just can't take the temptation. Paul said to the Corinthians, look, let anyone who thinks they stand take heed lest they fall. Don't be proud. And no temptation has overtaken you but what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but will, with the temptation, provide a way of escape also so that you can endure it. Because you're not strong in your own strength. I'm not strong in my own strength, but you are strong in Jesus. Like, we can do this. Evil's not going to beat us. I would say trash talk and chirp with your defensive weapon of the word of God, and stand firm in your faith and fight against attack. And when the arrows attacked in temptation, put up the shield and keep believing in Jesus and his word. And you have his word on it that he will hold you fast. Number six, hold up the shield of faith when you doubt. Every Christian, some point or another, or even sometimes you go through a season of ongoing, you go through doubts. You wonder about things. You maybe feel beaten down by life, and you start to wonder, and you can hold up the shield of faith in doubt. What's been helpful to me to realize is that some of the most notable Christians ever dealt with doubt. And faith can stand up to doubt. Faith is stronger than doubt. God is stronger than doubt. The word is stronger than doubt. It was reported that Charles Spurgeon at times doubted. He used gallons of ink pleading with sinners to turn to Christ, to trust Christ's work as final and sure and secure. And yet here, the prince of preachers often struggled, it was said, to sense and feel the surety of God's love for him. You're not alone in this. You're not alone in doubting. But hold up the shield of faith in doubt. Quickly apply your faith in the Lord and his word, and with real words that are true and are trustworthy and will not budge. Like when God said, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not look anxiously about you, for I am your God. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Or when the psalmist said, when my anxious thoughts swirl within me, Lord, your consolations delight my soul. Your word comforts my heart. Hold up the shield of faith in doubt. Number 7, hold up the shield of faith when you're facing lies. Accusations, lies, insinuations, even from the devil. Like, you call yourself a Christian? You're a fake. You're unstable. You're finished. No, put up the shield of faith and say, no, it is finished. Jesus at the cross said, it is finished. And my faith is going to protect me from the enemy, and it's going to put out the fire of lies, and it's going to repel the attacks, because my faith is a gift from God, given to me by the one who loves my soul and saved my soul. And even as Jude says, beloved, build yourselves up in your most holy faith, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. Quote the promises of God to yourself and to your brothers and sisters. Quote the doctrines of the faith, and then let those things just get put into your life practically where the rubber meets the road. Don't go through your life arrogant and think or give the impression that everything you think is right. You know, your grasp of the objective word of God that is absolutely true is a gift from God who illumines our hearts to understand it. But I'm talking about opinions here. If you go on your opinion so hard, you'll dismiss a lot of good ideas. There is one full, objective, authoritative word, and there's a lot of truth in the world, but there are a lot of lies, and you got to sift out the lies. Hold up the shield of faith when you are facing lies. Number 8, hold up the shield of faith in community. In the battle, the arrows being shot at these soldiers, and they had wet the leather shield with water, and then the Roman legions would close ranks. And they, with these shields, they had this first row holding edge to edge, overlapping shield over shield to build a wall right in front of them. And rows behind would hold their shields above their heads. It wasn't just an umbrella you were holding just for yourself. And it would give them protection from arrows and rocks and spears. And they would protect each other. G.K. Chesterton said, the true soldier fights not because he hates what is in front of him, but because he loves what is behind or next to him. You got to get your eyes on the Word of God. You got to get your eyes on those in the church that are your brothers and sisters. You grow with them. And it's not everyone thinking exactly the same thing. It's everyone governed by the exact same Word, which fosters our unity. And how easy is it to live our life as Christians just consuming, mowing people down, and giving the impression that our agenda rules? And the Pharisees had this selfish agenda. Jesus said a lot about their hearts not being right. You don't want to be a body life crushing Pharisee that forces people to do as you think. You have to be wary. You have to be wise. You have to be loving together to each other. Like, suit up and serve each other. Give Christ's agenda. Bring Christ's agenda. Hold up the shield of faith in community. Number 9, hold up the shield of faith in trial. But you're going through the trial. Put up the shield of faith to deflect insensitive comments from people not thinking clearly. Put up the shield of faith to reject your potentially harmful comments before they pass through the door of your lips. Put up a shield of faith when you want to lash out. Trust the Lord to give you self-control. Put up the shield and trust the Lord for wisdom in every circumstance. The trial that you are going through is a gift from God. It's to make you more like Christ. It's for your good, to shape you more like Christ. You can rest in the Lord because he has you, believer. Your times are in his hands. He's going to hold you up with his strong hand, and he has never failed you. So you can hold up the shield of faith in trial. And number 10, hold up the shield of faith when you are harassed by evil. When you are harassed by evil, a Christian cannot be indwelt by demons. Christians are harassed by evil. A Christian, a true Christian, cannot be indwelt by demons. And Christians have deep emotional and spiritual battles, and often Christians fear demonic influence. Here is what Peter said: be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. He's not your friend, he's your enemy. He prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. The enemy, the lion, would roar to stun the prey that he wanted to devour. And it says here, resist him firm in your faith. If you think you have it wired, you're probably going to trip. But real faith is evidenced by real proof. Think with me. There's not one piece of armor that doesn't have to do with your thought life, that doesn't have to do with your trust in God and his word. His spirit-applied word renews your mind. There's not one piece of armor we're looking at that isn't all interconnected and doesn't have to do with your thought life and your trust in God's word. This calls for constant watchfulness in all circumstances, looking out for your brothers and sisters too, not just for yourself, and taking necessary action, like take up. It acts as an imperative. You have an effective weapon. A successful defense will be had because you put up the shield of faith in every circumstance. And when the fiery trial comes upon you and arrows are raining down from every direction, you can remind yourself, Jesus went to the cross. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He died for my sins. He let himself be pierced for my transgressions. He let himself be attacked so that I could stand by faith. He is just and the justifier of the one who has faith in him. And Jesus loves me, and I'm not going to fear. And I'm going to stand firm in faith in him. Remind yourself. God the Son came into this world. He suffered and died in my place, and he sympathizes with me. We do not have a high priest that cannot be touched with our infirmities, but one that was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin, sinless forever and eternally. And that means, believer, that you are not alone and that God will keep you. You hold up the shield of faith, you be reminded, you can look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. And thank you, Lord, that you will do as you have said. Thank you for your deep love for us. Thank you, Lord, that you refresh our hearts and bolster our faith. Thank you that you enable us to hold up the shield of faith, even to apply truth quickly in every trial. Thank you, Lord, that you are Lord of all. Thank you, Lord, that you keep your church. And thank you, Lord, that in every circumstance we can take up this shield, the shield of faith, and extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that we could even say we love you, Jesus, because you first loved us. And we pray this in your name. Amen.